when I was climbing up those stairs, I think I have 3 more times to climb it before the end of the convention. I've been climbing up. All right. When I was listening to Apostle Selman, something struck me that I want to say. He's a seasoned man of God. And when I say he's a seasoned man of God, he can speak deeply on many subjects in the Bible. And there are few people that can do that. I remember the first time I ever met Bishop Francis Wale Oke, in maybe 1988. What he told me was this. He said, when you're a true minister of the gospel, they can wake you up at any time of the day without preparation, give you a subject, and you preach on it excellently without having to go and prepare to preach on it. And I found that exemplified in the life of Apostle Selman. You know, let me just say this way in a parable, but it's true. Many years ago, we were in a meeting, and in the scheduling of the meeting, maybe some people came late or something. So we wanted somebody to speak to fill in the gap. So somebody approached the person to speak. He said, look, I'm not prepared. So, and Apostle Selman was coming from the north. When he arrived, somebody else had already addressed his topic they had given to him. So they had to go and tell him, you can't preach on this thing again, that you should preach on something else. Do you know they approached him? I said, no problem. And he got up and preached on something else as though he had prepared the message to preach. There are people that can do that too. You tell me I'm coming to preach on the Holy Spirit, then suddenly tell me that it's the love of Jesus Christ and I didn't have my notes. I'll tell you I can't do it. I'll re-preach the Holy Ghost again, all right, from my pastor. So I want to appreciate that about you. That's really massive. Amen. All right, our next speaker is from Uganda. Where are Ugandan friends? All right. And I heard him say something yesterday. I don't know whether it was in the green room. He said, you know, I was mobilizing for Wolfbeck. He used the word mobilizing. So it struck me, mobilizing. So I didn't get it. But I just said, well, he must be referring to something. I think it's later on I heard that in Uganda, they were mobilizing for people to watch Wolfbeck. They were giving out handbills, doing street rallies. Are you following what I'm saying here? You know, and this tells me something. You know, wait for God to establish proper relationships in your life. Because when you have real divine connections, there's a way these things are. When you force things, there's a way those things happen. I mean, it is clear this is a ministry and a man that God has brought into my life, that God has sent into my life, that is, there are many things going to happen in the future that is a massive blessing. And I consider it a privilege for you, all right, to be part and parcel of what we are doing in this place. Let's rise to our feet as we welcome Apostle Grace Lubega from Kampala, Uganda.
God, oh my God. Tell your neighbor we're about to fly. Tell them we are about to fly. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Pastor Poju, your beloved wife, we love you. I know you know that. We can't wait to do more. I know you know that. I want to honor all the ministers that are here. The man of God, Nathaniel Bassi. I saw Minister Dancing here. I see some pastors. Is it Pastor Uno? Is it like that? Annie? Anu? Yes. Come on, let's clap for the Apostle Joshua Selman. Clap for him for two things. Number one, because of the message. Number two, because more than half of my message he has preached. So, with the time I'm left with, it's okay with a few things that I will add. I was so excited and elated in my spirit because I saw the Spirit reconciling many things. This is what we dreamed of. This is what we dreamed of. That is why even in Uganda we can go ahead and mobilize and do all these kinds of things. We believe in the unity of the faith that takes us to the knowledge of the Son. And then we get to that perfect man who is in the full stature and the measure of the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Allow me to go straight into the word because of the minutes that I have here. This week, all through the conversation has been around Isaiah, the 40th chapter, the 31st verse. For those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Day one, I talked about running, so walking. Day two, I talked about running. Today, I just want to build. As a matter of fact, as you hear me speaking, most of the words spoken are going to be connecting to what the apostle has been laying already. To put this in context, the Lord impressed it on my heart for us to begin with the first verse of Isaiah. Because what we're reading is the last verse of Isaiah, chapter 40. The Lord impressed it on my heart for us to read from the first verse to open our eyes to what God is telling us this evening. And the spirit behind the conference, why God sent this theme. If you'll allow me from verses 1, the New King James says, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended. Tell your neighbor, your warfare is ended. Tell them your warfare is ended. Two, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double of all her sins. Verses 3 says, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, and I'm going to come to that, says, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought down, the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. Verses 5, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it. All flesh, underline that, shall see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry out? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. But the grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. As we can see, Isaiah, by prophetic wisdom, is preparing a people of a time that should come hundreds of years later, about 700 years later. The Spirit of the Lord and this wonderful prophet is saying or prophesying to us that certain events are going to come in human history that are going to change the trajectory of man and his story like we know it. As a matter of fact, if you're a reader of the Bible, you have already picked by now that when he goes to the verse 3, where the voice is crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway of our Lord. This is a direct mirror of the message and ministry of John the Baptist. He is saying, if you don't understand what I'm saying, you should allude to the mirror of the man who said the very words in the time when he said those very words. He's saying that there is somebody going to come. This man, John, is saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The Greek word, as some of you know, is metanoia. Start changing your mind already. Start aligning yourself. Calibrate all your thought processes, because the realm of God is coming. The realm of God is coming. The realm in which men function as God is coming. Somebody shout amen. And when that realm comes, every valley shall be exalted, because the realm has come. Every mountain hill shall be brought low, because the realm has come. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth, because the realm has come. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it, because the realm has come. Are you following me? Are you following me? Now, I want us to skip down somewhere because of time, and only because of time. I had a lot to share right there. But I want us to skip to the verses 40 to understand now this 31st verse. Verses 27 of Isaiah, where we were. You give me the New Living Translation. He says, O Israel, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? How can you say that the Lord does not see that you seek? How can you say that the Lord does not see that you're struggling with poverty? How can you say that the Lord does not see that your ministry is struggling? How can you say that the Lord does not see that you're troubled at night? How do you say that the Lord does not see that you lost your job and you're trying to get one and you're struggling to get another? He's saying, Israel, how can you say the Lord does not see your trouble? How can you say that God refuses to hear your case? He asks, have you ever heard or understood? Don't you know that the Lord is the everlasting God? Don't you know that the Lord is the everlasting God? He says that he is the creator. Don't you know that he's the creator of all the earth? And he says that, he emphasizes that this God never grows faint, follow me, or weary. No one can measure the depth of his understanding. Verses 29, he gives power to all who are tired and worn out, and he offers strength to the weak. Verses 30, even the youths become exhausted, and young men will give up. But he says, but those who wait on the Lord. Now you see what we're getting? But those who wait on the Lord, or those who trust on the Lord. The New Living Translation says those who wait on the Lord. But let's go to the King James, or New King James. He says that those who wait on the Lord, he says, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be tired. Now allow me to engage you for a few minutes on some Hebrew thoughts touching this text. As many of you know, the Old Testament was written in the Hebrew language, or Aramaic. The New Testament is written in Greek. When we study Isaiah 40 verses 31 from a Hebrew language, we will discover that the English language does not quite give us the depth of what God is trying to communicate to the reader. And this is it. When the Bible says that for those who wait upon the Lord, when you study the Hebrew, it's more like for those who wait for the Lord. But the language there is for those who wait for the Lord, or who wait for the coming of the Lord. Are you following? The Bible says they shall renew their strength. The Hebrew word for renew is kaolaf. Tell your neighbor, kaolaf. Kaolaf means to pass on. Kaolaf means to abolish. Kaolaf means to substitute. Kaolaf means to change for better. Now let's read the scripture again. They that wait for the Lord shall pass on their strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall abolish their strength. The Hebrew word is koek. Kokoak. It means their human or natural strength. Those that wait for the Lord shall substitute their strength. Who is following what I'm saying? Those that wait upon the Lord shall change for better their strength. This is not a conversation of empowering natural strength. It is a narrative that is switching natural strength for some other strength. It is a conversation that is substituting human understanding with godly understanding. Who understands what I'm saying? The testimony of the gospel was to switch off the natural. The gospel did not just come to improve you. It came to change everything about you. The Bible says if any man be any, a Yoruba or Ugandan. He says if any man be in Christ, the Bible says he is a new what? He says the old is past. Behold, all things are. It's a new understanding. It's a new interpretation of life. It's a new mind. I was sharing with the saints in Abuja. And I told them, of this man we're talking about, the Bible says, who has known the mind of Christ that he should instruct him? Who has known the counsel of God that he should instruct him? But the Bible says that we now have, that new man has the mind of Christ. The Amplified Bible says that he holds the very thoughts and feelings of the Christ. It's no longer what would Jesus do. It's what is Jesus doing. Are you following me? You don't think, what does God think about this sick person? Every man with that mind on this ground, by the wisdom the Apostle Solomon was trying to share, once that wisdom comes to you, you realize you already know what God wants to do for the sick. Say to Israel, your warfare is over. This will even change our conversations touching deliverance. We will invest more time revealing to men how much they have already been delivered in Christ. That when the demons are manifesting, they are not leaving because we have spoken to them. But they are living because the man has ascended. Are you following what I'm saying? He says they shall mount up with wings. They shall ascend. The Hebrew means they'll spring up. They will grow. The Hebrew also calls it to extend boundaries. They will extend boundaries. They will excel. They will increase. That's all the Hebrew. They will leap with wings. With wings as eagles. The place of flying The place of living above, as Apostle Selman was saying, is the place of living above earthly limitations and challenges. To a place where a Christian does not believe God for healing anymore. The Christian affirms their position in God to claim divine health. That the testimony in your family is, why isn't it that you don't fall sick in the first place? And people realize that it is a deeper miracle to stay healthy than to be healed of stage 4 cancer. Why? Because there is a life in you that cannot allow any germ. There is a life in you that cannot allow any bacteria. There is a life in you that cannot allow any virus to have course. When you understand this life, you will not believe God for success. You will struggle to believe, or you'll struggle to be convinced that you are not a success. Why? Because you've embraced a certain nature. It's a mindset. That is regardless of whatever is surrounding you. It's regardless of what you're going through. It's regardless of what is happening in your family. That is why when the Bible says, like the apostle says, that you shall have life and have it more abundantly. The Greek word there is perizos. Perizos means to have a quality of life implicating an excessive. To a place where God gives you, listen, more than necessary. Slap somebody. To a place where God gives you more than necessary. God didn't come to give you enough. Tell your neighbor, God didn't come to give you enough. No. He came to give you more than necessary. He came to give you wealth more than necessary. He came to give you life more than necessary. He came to give you wisdom more than necessary. He came to empower you more than necessary. He came to uphold you more than necessary. A preservation that is more than. A ministry that is bigger than. A marriage that is more beautiful than. A business. A project. A dream that is bigger than. Perizos. That is why none of us can ever fit in our mantles. One man said, go to the grave empty. The Spirit of the Lord told me it's impossible for an infinite being living in a finite body to go to the grave empty. You just finish. Listen, you have the Godhead. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness of God should dwell bodily. Jesus did not go on that grave empty. He had a lot. His life was not taken, it was given. So the day we check out, we won't check out because all the revelations have run out of our spirits. Are you hearing me? Cancer in the heart of man is as deep waters, but only the man of understanding can draw it out. For as long as you are alive, there is a light that will stab through your spirit and bring out revelation deeper than you had yesterday. The path of the just shines brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. The Message Bible says, the longer they live, the brighter they shine. You're deeper today than you were deeper yesterday. And no doubt, tomorrow morning, the masses of God are going to stir deeper. Tell your neighbor, I'm endless. Any man who has the Spirit of God cannot run out. No. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord searches out the deep things of God. Is that what Corinthians says? He searches out the deep things of God. Have you ever read it in the Amplified Bible? Give me the Amplified version. Begin from verses 9. The scripture says, for What eye has not seen? What ear has not heard? What has not entered into the heart of man? God has prepared, listen, read. God has prepared, made and keeps what? God has prepared, made and keeps ready for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him and gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. Verses 10, yet to us, God has, he's not saying will. God has, he's not saying will. Let me help us understand the place of faith. Faith is not to connect to the new. Faith is to connect to what has already been availed. Don't remove the scripture. Faith is to connect to what has already been made and kept ready. Your healing was already made and it is ready. Your success was already made and it is ready. Your progress was already made and it is ready. Your marriage was already made and it is ready. It's ready. And the Bible says, he says, what eye has not seen, what ear has not heard, has not entered into the hearts of man, all that God has prepared and made and kept ready for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, probably obeying him and gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. Verses 10. Yet to us God has unveiled and revealed them by his Spirit, for the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, what the Bible says, searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the design counsels, the things hidden, which are beyond human scrutiny. This is what happens. When you have the Holy Ghost, you have a person who carries bottomless things. Shake somebody and tell him I can't run out. You have somebody who carries bottomless things. To the psalmist, bottomless things. To the worshiper, bottomless things. To the preacher, bottomless things. To the intercessor, bottomless things. To the teacher of the word, bottomless things. For as long as you are alive, you'll always be deep. Tell somebody, for as long as I'm here, I'll always carry the bottomless graces. Now here is a place of faith. God has not revealed. Will not reveal. Is not revealing. Has revealed. Epignosis. This is the order. That epignosis precedes gnosko. The advanced and complete knowledge of God of both things ethical and divine at the onset of salvation precedes the progressive gnosis. In other words, when you receive Jesus, you receive the whole of God. The Bible says, for it pleased the Father in him should dwell all the fullness of God bodily. Now, the more you study to access wisdom, you're simply getting acquainted to what you already have. The man who is learning today that by his stripes you are healed is not going to be healed because we have said it. He's going to be healed because he has come to the realization that he was healed. That is why in the order of things, when we go to the Spirit, wisdom precedes understanding. Understanding precedes knowledge. But in the world of men, knowledge comes first for understanding to come, and then wisdom comes. But I'm talking to men and women who are from above. Because if you have Jesus, the Bible says he has been made your wisdom, your redemption, your sanctification. But when we come into the carnal realm, knowledge will precede understanding. Understanding will precede wisdom. Here's the application of faith. The application of faith is firstly to begin from the evidence of things not seen, from the substance of things hoped for, and say, I am wise. Why? Because Jesus Christ, in whom is hid all traces of wisdom and knowledge, is in the inside of me. So I study my word as a wise one. I study the scriptures as one who already has the understanding of what God is saying, because I'm one with the word. He gave seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Bible says the word is nigh thee. It is in thy mouth. Even the word we preach, that very word of faith. So when you're going to read your Bible, don't say, Father, help me understand. Who got this? Say, Father, I thank you. Because the Son of God is come and he has given us an understanding. I bless you because your wisdom is sufficient enough, because I live in Christ. In him I live and move and have my own being. He has been made unto me wisdom, redemption, righteousness. And by that virtue, I get into the word to read as one who is already connecting with what has already been revealed to me. This is so deep. So progressive knowledge, gnosko, is an affirmation experience of epignosis. Progressive knowledge comes to vindicate, authenticate, justify epignosis. You know God. Little children, you know God. You know God. When you believe God that way, whenever you go in the text, if you won't open the Bible will open itself to you. The moment you put your eyes in scripture, your eyes will start to see things that are unusual. Things that you'll not find in a textbook, on a CD, or on a flash disk. Why? Because you have connected to a life. When you understand that, you laugh at sickness. You laugh at poverty. You laugh at struggle. You will laugh at strife. You will laugh at witchcraft. There were days when people needed to join their hands to break generational curses. Those days are soon coming to an end. Men will sleep and the evil one won't even touch them, because they know who they are. Hallelujah, glory to God. If a demon could not possess Jesus, and Jesus lives in the inside of me, then no devil can get on this head. I don't know who I'm communicating to. The prince of this world has nothing in me. You have to get to a level. One time, somebody went to a witch doctor to do witchcraft. And the witch doctor or sorcerer, the moment he started to do his charms, he got a vision. He asked the person, do you know Apostle Grace Lubega? And the person said, yes. I go there to church sometimes. The witch doctor told them, go back to him. I have no answer for you. You know why? Because even in prayer I say, when a sorcerer, necromancer, soothsayer gets to those I pastor, there has to be a light to introduce them, to tell them
that there is a one that has already entered this individual, however ignorant they are. Somebody has placed stake on their destiny. That they are inaccessible. Then I dealt with the ignorance later. Hallelujah, child of God. Hallelujah, child of God. When Jesus came, he came that he would substitute our strength. You're not going to build ministry in your strength anymore. You're not going to enter marriage in your strength anymore. You're not going to build that conglomerate in your own strength anymore. You're not going to plan in your own strength anymore. You're not going to enter a car in your own strength anymore. That is the glory that he sees in Isaiah the 60th chapter. The first verse, it says, "Arise, Jerusalem." This is the problem. Our people are not awakened yet. He says, "Wake up." New Living Translation says, "Let your light shine for all nations to see. For the glory of the Lord is shining upon you." Remember, he says, "All flesh shall see the glory of God." All flesh shall see the glory of God. You remember when he said it in Isaiah 40? You're not the flesh. At that particular point, the flesh has faded away because the glory of God shines on the man. Now, the glory is you. I said, the glory is you. At that point, all flesh is as grass, and the glory of it has a flower of the field. But the Bible says the flesh is blown away. The flower fadeth because the breath of the Spirit bloweth upon you. So when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you're no longer flesh. Even though you live in the flesh, you're no longer regarded flesh. We regard no man in the flesh. Now your glory. Your glory. And because you are glory, the rest of those who have not yet been translated, they're the ones who look at us and say, "Behold the glory of God." He says, "Let your light shine." New Living Translation. "For the glory of the Lord is shining upon you. Darkness as black as night will cover all the nation of the earth. But the glory of the Lord will shine over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance." Listen, when I read this portion of scripture, I knew nobody great will not know me. I'm not boasting. I'm simply stating the truth. He says, "You're a written epistle known and read by all men." The question is, what do they read? But as you ascend, Akambradega, as you are elevated, even those you think didn't know you will know you, because there is a place that reconciles them to who you are. The glory of God cannot be ignored. Tell somebody, the glory of God cannot be ignored. This is not only for Apostle Grace, it's for every child of God. We are entering a season, and I speak prophetically, where the world will not be able to ignore us. They turn this way, we are on their TV. They turn that way, we are on their radio. They turn that way, we are on their calendar. They turn this way, we are on their t-shirts. They turn that way, we are on the stadium. "No man lighteth a candle and hideth under a bushel." God did not light you up to hide you. Check somebody, God didn't light me up to hide me. Candas abalade. We are entering a season, candles, ibrade gatalapa, where men will not be able to ignore what is working on you. Some might envy you. Some might have issues with you, but it doesn't matter what they have with you. At the end of the day, they'll say, "Yes, I hate that woman. I envy that brother. She's getting the jobs. He has a bad accent. He doesn't have an education. He's not connected as I am. The glory of God is upon him. He says, kings, mighty kings will come to see your radiance. And he says, open your eyes, child of God. Look and see. Verses 4, for everyone is coming home. Your sons are coming from distant lands. Your little daughters are carried home. Your eyes will shine as a place of vision. And your hearts will thrill with joy. For the merchants from the world will come to you. They'll bring you the wealth of many lands. Vast caravans of camels will converge on you. The camels of Midian and Ephah, Nigeria and Australia, Canada and Fiji, Uganda and Tanzania, South Africa and Brazil, from Sheba, they'll bring gold and incense for the worship of the Lord. The flocks of Kedah will be given to you. The rams of Nebaioth will be brought for my altars. In that day, I will make my temple. Your body is the temple. Come on, clap for Jesus for 30 seconds. My time is up. Come on, let's just celebrate for 30 seconds. They're not over all. Listen. One man sang and said, I live above the systems. I'm not here to sing. I want to pray. I'm tired. Okay. You'll sing it in your free time. I want us to just take, as I put you, only 3 minutes to pray. Thank you. Now, I just want us to raise our hands and pray. He has given me 10 minutes. And pray. Is it 10 or 5? 5. They're enough. God can move in 2. He can even move in 1. He can move even in seconds. I just want you to raise your voice and connect to what God is doing now. Now, God is doing something this very second. You did not drive all your way from your home to go back the same that you walked on this ground. It's either now or it's now. As I'm speaking, as we are praying right now, the sick are getting healed. If you came with any disease in your body, back issues are healing now. Blindness, short-sightedness, long-sightedness is healing now. Deaf ears are opening now. If you're crippled and you have a clutch, just walk. If you came in a wheelchair or you're next to somebody in a wheelchair, just tell them to stand up. Swellings are disappearing. Abnormal growths are dying. Somebody came with a wound. You've been having wounds for about 3 months, on and off in your throat. They're healing now. Somebody had a twisted disc. God is healing your back now. I see God growing teeth. There's somebody who says, I want new teeth. God is growing new teeth now. You're walking out with your job. You're walking out with your marital destiny affirmed. Your ministry is healed. Your dreams are aligned. Now listen, if you came with a pain, sickness and you're healed, run on my right. I feel God is healing people right now. If you came with a sickness and you're healed right now, run on my right side. Run on my right side. God is healing the sick now. If you came with a pain, a swelling, you're deaf ear, and you're healed, run here. Run here. Run here. God is healing now. Run here. Run here. Run here. God is healing the sick right now. Run here. Run here. Don't walk. Run. Run. The Bible says you shall decree a thing and it shall be established. It is the run, 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 run. If you have received a healing this evening, run. Pastor Poju knows what to do with you. Oh, to love you. Oh, to love you. Oh, to love you more and more. Oh, to love you. If you've been healed by any ailment, run here. If you received a miracle this evening, run here. There are too many to testify. We shall just write them. Listen. I just want to do one more thing. Revival has begun in such a unique way in Africa. And the wonderful men and women God has raised, evidently you can see that something unusual has begun. And the Lord tells me that in just 10 seconds, there are people here who are distinctly called for revival. But God has set you on the forefront as pioneers of something that eye has never seen. The power of God is coming upon you now. Receive it! Ushers, bring them here. Anybody who is slain, bring them on the left. God is, I don't need to lay hands on you. Just bring them on the left. Now, those of you who have never given your life to Jesus and you want to be born again today. Today. If you're among those who are healed, stay there. If you're not among them, run here. You say, I want to be born again. Run here. Run here. If you're among the sick who have been healed, stay there. I'll lead you into a confession prayer. If you're there and you have never given your life to Christ, you say, today I want Jesus in my life. Come right now. Those who are slain, put them the other side. Apostles, prophets, God is raising. Had you made an altar call already, Pastor Poju? Had they made an altar call already?
Huh? No, no, we haven't made.
If you want to be born again, please come. Come. Come, let's clap for Jesus as they're coming. Come and stand here. If you're among those who are healed, stay there. I'll lead you. The Spirit of God is moving. Please get those poor slain. Bring them on the left. Bring them on the left. I see teaching graces. I see healing graces. People, God is anointing with distinctive anointings to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to cleanse lepers, to demonstrate power. Like never, I see an anointing on worshipers. Receive it! Come if you want to be born again. Run! Pastor Poju, I think you'll have to do this. connecting a woman from a spirit. It's like it has espoused and has been using you in the night. I see a woman, God is delivering you this very second. The spirit has been using you in your night. It's like a sexual spirit. It has been using you constantly and you've been bleeding. God is delivering you this very second. Power of the Holy Ghost. Where is Pastor Poggi? Come and lead these people to Christ. Come on, let's clap for the general of Nigeria. That for those who are healed, you'll only write, I think. See what the Lord has done. Can we clap for Jesus? Come on, let's celebrate as the man of God comes up.